any other questions? She's not gonna be here, and Sam's not gonna be here. All right, we'd like to welcome everyone tonight to our city council meeting, June 23rd, 2020. This is the regular meeting. We'll start tonight with our opening ceremonies. The rest will be the police and the pledge, and Rondi will say a few prayers.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Heavenly Father, we move our heads, pray. It's time to ask for blessing to be upon the leaders of this nation, the leaders of our state, that we may find peace and prosperity again in this land, and they may know what to do, or we may be blessed in this town, continue to have thy blessings upon us, of the peace and prosperity we enjoy here, and the blessing and good health may be upon our community during this pandemic, that we may make good decisions, and we may continue on in our lives as usual. And we pray that we may have the inspiration and do what's right as we make decisions regarding our city. And we love you, Father, and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Roll call.
Justin.
Kevin.
Kevin, this is Gibbs team up. Stuff out of town. Mike.
Yeah.
Russell.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
And Sam is also Gibbs team. All from you. I'll just make what he had in the mail.
First item of business, approval of agenda items.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it. Okay, I have a motion by Justin and seconded by Russ to approve the agenda items for the city council meeting on June 23rd, 2020 at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
You opposed? Approval of claims and requisitions.
We have requisitions, do we?
We got this one to pull on before and all, we'll pass that one. But yeah, so let's see. So we don't even have any adjustments, it's just on the voters registered from 6/9/2020 to 6/20/2020. With the dollar amount, back here, $79,531.10. We're holding out a budget this month, going through this.
So that can place some order or something?
Yeah.
We're thinking it all burned up in our Saturday of light and stuff. And then when it snowed and stuff, people were out of water and didn't call for the water until Wednesday. And then, but it's all good today. It's all for the summer now, huh?
Yeah, we had a backup on Friday at 11 o'clock.
I just never did very well. I know the details on it.
The hot rod
new owner out of Boise for us. And then they're going to take our old one and have it rewound. And we're going to put it in the first study. And we had a 50 horse starter on the 60 foot pump. My contact was shut, the way it's open shut, everything on. I don't know that's cool, but the opener shut. The shut. So it's trying to come on, twist the circuit.
You don't see power?
No, Do you have questions? I'm not ready to make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have questions?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
I'll make a motion to approve the U.S. Register from June 9th to June 20th, 2020. For $79.31.10.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Justin and seconded by Ronnie to approve invoice registers from 6/9/2020 to 6/20/2020 for the dollar amount of $79,531.10. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Randall.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Yes.
And I'm going to send this around so I don't get in trouble for Gene for not getting passed out. All right, next item of discussion, action, road requirements for Shiloh Jones.
This?
The one.
Sorry. Go back up. The proposal. And I didn't get with, this is kind of my fault, I've had it for a couple of weeks and I didn't get with Don because there's two different proposals here, so I don't know which one she actually wanted. So I don't know if we can do this.
Are those options or are just additional work based on that? The first option is to do the part and...
Right, and it's different planking, so I want to get with her which planking she wants to do. And then the other option was to do the raised platform. So probably what we need to do is Stephen... Table this until I get a chance to talk with Dawn for sure to make sure that which one she wants to do, because I know she talked about maybe not doing like the race platform, but again, really, we can't vote on it until we know which option she's really looking at. So
is there a time sensitive or anything? I mean,
no.
Okay.
No. Not that I'm aware of anyway. So yeah, we probably have a table list until we see exactly which option she wants to go with. So yeah. Okay, going on then, we'll go with the discussion on the road requirements. Shiloh and Corey, do you want to come up? She fought last time, I sure could.
I don't know how good that be.
I guess you guys heard it last time.
What is the ordinance?
I think I'm going to find it in here because it's in Wellen. Smart as a jack.
Yes, is it 11 or 13?
It's 11/16.
11/16?
11/16/040. And the way I understand the ordinance is the subdivider, and in my mind, the subdivider is a property owner before they sold the lot, is the party that needs to be putting in the road for the new development.
Who's the actual applicant for the subdivision?
There's no subdivision, there's a lot split.
What were you thinking of those were the same? I mean, subdivision of property lots.
So there's nothing that I'm going to be the devil advocate here, because again, I'm going back up into your neighborhood with Doug and Melissa, and some people that were the road that we never should have. That was never a lot split.
Right. Those are two separate lots.
But they just extended it.
So those lots were all in the dead, and they just,
this one here was split. And it was split when, March of...
Was she married, or she split it before?
She split it before.
And Ron was on the street.
South End 18, first split most of it? Or was it 17?
I think Dave told them to split.
Okay. I felt like it was 18 when they actually got an stuff, and one of those.
I moved back to the corporate, because this is from my head, and so it doesn't go to 16, it goes to 8.
Was that one of those over there?
Yeah.
It was your lap.
Let's see. 1840 on this one.
I'm looking at them online or on the city's website.
So go make a copy real quick. What we're looking at. I want to see if we're up to the same thing.
All you got around, it's the same deal. It's different on that.
The building that's online has been modified a couple of years. I'm going to go on making copy of it real quick. So you guys get all ready for me to go out and grab it. You guys have to do the EP90 copy. The EP90 copy, yes. So when we talked about Smokey and the bottom there, was that lot was on the bed? It just kind of got building permit. Is that how that? Do you guys know that?
I don't know.
Those lots weren't split. They was both for sale individually, separate. And Doug's lot, his driveway comes right off the city road, so it's more or less his driveway than a lane, but Raw pushed in a road to the north, to the lot north of Doug, to get access to his lot. I couldn't put a distance on it.
So I'm guessing it's around, it looks like it's around 300 feet long.
But he dedicated that road, it's just a private lane to his house.
It's been.
So it's even over to the city, but it's
irrigation runs right now through there. So it's an irrigation easement, it's not necessarily dedicated highway or street. Right.
So if it's deeded over to the city, does that make it a city road?
It's not deeded, that's how it is. It's not like there's an easement for the irrigation line. Sure.
So that's what it was, as they built their lane on it. They never did deed over enough for a road to the city. Because it's narrower. You can look on our plat map, and the city right away or easement to the Miramontes is only about half of what has been deeded over to. Only half as wide.
Let's do that book for just a second. I don't know if I have that since day one. Day one, we have to issues that change and someone was on. Oh, the guy could.
Jay?
Yeah, it was on his property. And my dad was like, no, it was on our property. I don't know.
So I guess my concern is the way that if you go into subdivision, like you're saying, when you split the lots, those lots were already done.
They weren't.
So it's like when they developed the road you split. I don't know.
So a subdivision defined, was any land that was divided, subdivided, supposed to be divided into two or more lots?
parcel sites you can sponsor and individuals are bound to put this letter immediately or future for offer sale, lease, or development, either on this solemn plan or on any all other plans, terms, and conditions. So, according to all, it's a subdivision. A lot split is a subdivision. Now, whether you want to look at it as a, you know, there's a distinction between minor subdivision and major subdivision. Typically, that's where it was 10 lots or more, something like that, it becomes a major subdivision. And I guess it's the prerogative of the council or the planning commission to decide how we want to handle subdivisions. We want to put them all in one bucket and treat them all the same, or if we want to treat lots split separately. That my fear, and I think any subdivision deserves a look of the big picture and how that's going to affect future things down the road. And so we don't get ourselves in trouble with a lot of the private road dedication and things like that, because it's just a lot split. The next lot up in Robin decides to do hers. How is the traffic going to function safely in that situation? I think we got ourselves in a little bit of trouble. This one at least has a little dedication, but I think there's some that we haven't required out. We haven't required a standard, and I think we just need to go further. We just need to be really proactive in making sure we're looking at it, because this growth, potential growth may come. So I know that we've kind of set some of the precedent in the past. I don't know how the road that goes up to past Colleen's and over to Kelly's old place, I don't think that was improved. It's not just a dirt road.
It's gravel. I don't think that's the deed. I think that's just the deed.
I thought when you turned the
ball, you had no idea to actually do
40, but it's only 40 feet, if I remember right. It's a deed of growth.
It is a deed of growth because we have to go through paperwork. And if you look on the map, it's, I believe it says not the
same. Yeah, it is a deed to the city.
And so, for that being said, I don't know if we want to, when we want to start doing that, if it's now or if we want to, because of the circumstances, let things go how they have, and from here on out, we take more of our mind on the words. I think that's something that the planning is only probably we should look at, but
well, that's where it starts.
Yes,
with planning.
With Robin and Heather, and then you know, is she responsible? I guess that's my question. Is she, because she split it, is she responsible? Or technically, she shouldn't.
The way I understand the ordinance is that the developer or the subdivider is responsible to follow these policies and procedures and steps before they sell a lot.
100% she is not aware of it.
And I don't think she was.
No, she's like,
I don't think she had any malicious intention.
Oh, absolutely. She's not
there. And I don't think the city has any.
But on the other side, the fact that we're this going to do too, again, it's like, if you require the road, you should almost require the water line and the sewer line, the extension to be part of that deal too. So it's almost like there were two different.
Well, so we have to put 250 feet of sewer.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And we know about that. They're just waiting on us.
But I can say in the past, right, that it's where, I can say this in town, where there's been a hole in the middle of the block that there's a sewer line there, and we allow just a lateral to come out and run down the block and up into the main line. That's happened, and I think that's bad practice. I think it's, you know, because of the hardship, they didn't want to put it on the resident to put that main line in. And but that's what this stuff, that's basically, that's what I'm saying. To me, in that situation, the landowner is the developer, because that lot's even in existence.
Yeah.
So that service needs to be extended to them, and it should be done with a man rather than...
Yeah, everyone that's just been alive, we're not going to them.
Yeah, I think we need to, in the future, get away from doing that, because you can still have to put a 6-inch mainline in, whether that's fine or not. I mean, they want to just hold them on Saturday, because the price of pipe isn't that much different. But we created some of these precedences and patents. So speaking of that, what size of line are you guys looking at running that?
8-inch.
Okay. 8-inch. All right, that's what just what we're talking about then. So it's like, what would you guys think as far as the running
set? Corey and then KJ got it all.
Okay. And I can foresee that line going all the way to extending further east in due time.
Let's not do that.
Well,
let's just crack down and say no now. We don't want any news.
That's what your neighbors say, Leslie. You too.
I know. I agree.
I was the first one there.
Yeah.
So I guess all we got to do is the council and make sure that if they split lots or develop lots of any kind, they're responsible for the streets and they. I mean, if Robert wasn't aware, how many other people in this community bought property and weren't aware of what the ordinance said they had to comply with?
Robert planning his own, you should let them know that when they do a lot split.
Yeah, that's the problem you get into, is if they just do a lot split, say, well, I'm not going to do anything right now. 5 years down the road, it gets sold, and then somebody's got to hold them back. Because even this situation is probably, what, 2 years? I think Dave told me the lot split was in 2017, so we're talking 3 years later, and then it gets sold.
Yeah.
Back to the same
spot. At that point, Robin wasn't told about the road. She knew about the sewer and the water line.
She must have been told about the dedication of the road. Because that was part of it.
She definitely didn't know about a paved road, but she wanted this, even when we started looking at this in 2018, when the first time we were thinking of selling our house, she knew about all that and we had to develop it. But never a road. I mean, I know we have to get a road out there because we have to drive, but...
Well, I can understand why there's a difference between a regular developer coming in and taking, you know, 15 acres and subdividing it. It's a little bit different than, you know, somebody just wanting to build a house. But on the flip side of that, it's kind of the same because it's still its infrastructure. And depending on where it is and how it fits into the overall grid and workings of the system, it may or may not be a full mainline route up to it. But, you know, say, Jeff and Andrew Parrish, they've got right there, but they already have access to all the utilities, so it was just a service connection. In this situation, the way it turns out is that's right on a grid for the street, so every circumstance could be a little bit different, so we can't treat everything the same either, because they're not the same.
Yeah, moving forward, the Planning Commission, we need to understand that when we do have property owners that split a lot for the purpose and intent of selling it, they have to develop they have to follow city code before they can sell that lot. That's the way I understand it in the ordinance.
And the road has to be put in before they sell
it. Before they sell the lot.
The other thing is when it says, for the boundary line entering concrete currently, it has also been locked to it. But now they should have been on that for themselves.
So that I have that.
Yeah, but it was the same. Do we
exactly
want to keep the role fit of the community? Do we want to start requiring more curb and gutter? And she personally, I don't feel like we're ready for the curb and gutter. Well, where's it going to go? I mean, with the system around the, you know, yeah, I mean, it seems a little late in the game to be doing that, but if you were to do a development that had curb and gutter adjacent to it, it might make sense to enforce that.
Yes.
But
but to just have somebody that's all having an isolated spot just for curb and gutter and nothing to tie down into, it doesn't make sense.
No.
That's a sidewalk.
There's chicken sill and dirt roads all the way up to it, and then you're going to have us put a fancy little pavement section in?
It would just have to be a chip seal. It wouldn't have to be an asphalt. The according to the code, chip seal is an asphalt road.
Well, it even uses the language gravel.
Gravel, but it's oil-based gravel, which is a chip seal.
Yeah, it's got both.
Yeah.
Oil, gravel, gravel, asphalt, or concrete.
So this is street width is to be measured from up by the minor or open streets 50 feet, secondary streets 50 feet, and major streets 99 are before the major street path. But the wide, I don't think this would be considered a major collector, major street.
You know, like in 50 feet,
it would be local or secondary.
Well, again, you can't go out. It's 50 feet down the road, so again, how can you change it to something else besides 50 feet, because that's what's down the road.
But going forward, it might make sense to look at this and say we want our streets are minor or our secondary. And I know this is a discussion for another day. I don't know. I don't appreciate your time. But it might make sense to limit a 66 or something to
It was quite funny too, because reading the cul-de-sac, I think it's still on the same page of print about 400 feet.
Yeah. I read that one way, you read it another way.
Yeah.
Because I read it at anything over 400 foot, then you needed to turn around. And you read it anything after the road up to 400 foot, you needed to turn around.
So I read it that you can't have a cul-de-sac or then in longer than 400 feet.
If that's the case, then it basically doesn't conform to your subdivision. You have to have another way to make that street tie in. So I don't know how we're ever going to get clarity on that, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like I'm talking way too much.
I don't know what the consensus is, but to me, if they were you willing to chip seal the road? Well, what would happen is get some of the mechanized for that little bit of a distance to chip seal. Nobody wants to be going to get oil for 400 feet.
Have you talked to Dave about equipment? You're living in the chip seal on the runway?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're going to have all of the equipment in town.
Sure. The only one I talked to was that Don at Bedrock, but they gave their name. And
yeah, you got to hit Alma's chip seal on the runway here in the next, actually, few weeks.
It's supposed to be next week. That's the trouble. I don't think you're
going to come back next year.
So this is my proposal of this situation. Because I'm understanding with you what you're saying, Corey, as far as there. It's like the mobilization fee is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we do something to where we escrow the money, we get somehow to say an agreement made that the next time somebody's in the city, chip sealing, that you guys would take care of chip sealing that road as the next project comes into town. Because again, that mobilization, like you're saying, cost you a fortune. That's part of the reason why we done the two roads, is because when they were willing to do both roads for the mobilization fee, it's like, okay, we just saved, I don't know, $10,000-$15,000 just on mobilization fee. How wide are you thinking, you know, 24 feet? Do you really know that? That's what it calls out in there. And how long is it?
It depends on how far we set it going.
How far is it from where your driveway would be at?
Well, it had to be where your driveway, where their driveway.
Where the driveway would be, we're probably looking at 300 feet.
Let's go 400 just for fun.
Try those corners.
Let's see. Well, from the property line to where the road is, which is 50 feet, was 186 feet.
That's
the problem.
So again, there should be no reason for you guys to have to pay for anything past your driveway, in my opinion.
So we just require a single chip seal or a double chip seal?
Honestly, that was going to be a lot better.
Because this just says oil, gravel, asphalt, or concrete. It doesn't really specify whether it's double chip seal or single, whether it's a... So just for a double, just for a single chip seal, 24 feet wide, 400 feet long, is $8,000. That's a 250 square yard. That's probably pretty close to what you can get it done for all the capital for the project the city does. That means that the city basically will be covering the mobilization. And then
there's grass up. I'm sorry, I don't understand roads. There's grass up there now. Is there a certain
rule?
Like we have to get it ready. You guys come in.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to put, you'd set a road base on it. Like
road base and gravel, I can trust.
So, well, this road, we've done agreement signed by them that when we do our chip seal later on, and they go ahead and put in a gravel road up there right now. With the stipulation agreement that when we ship seal, that you'll pay them to have them added to your property. Well, if we done it with that help them right now and give them a chance to get. I think you could, like you say, put a memorandum of understanding together with the signs recorded with the city that says that. The only thing is. Should Robin be paying for some of that or for these guys?
I think, again, the way I interpret the code is that that should be the other party that's responsible for those roads.
Well,
it's kind of hard to know, but the deal was made
2017.
I think we need an agreement with them because it should be the same way on the sewer and the water line extension that they basically own it for 5 years. If Robin goes to do anything with that land above, she has to offset the cost of what they put out. Because that's not fair for them, but, you know, I don't want them to pay all the road fees and all the water line extension, the sewer line extension. And then Robin looks at them and says, hi, you guys paid it all. Now I can go ahead and develop my other whatever acres above you guys, and you guys lose out on that money. You should own. That's how we do the power line extensions, is basically if they have to extend the power line, you own the power line for 5 years. For 5 years, if somebody else goes to attach onto it, they have to help offset your cost. I think it's half as little as what the original cost was.
Yeah,
it's a percentage of how many years we sell it. And I guess you didn't rob it just because she owns the next property.
Right.
I guess she could sell that, and technically, when it comes to your permit, then they would be required to extend those utilities and extend the revenue.
Because if they put the money out, you guys need to be covered somewhat. You know, because it's not fair, like I'm saying, if the next property owner up the street or even across the fence wanted then all of a sudden to use your guys' improvements, they should reimburse you for what they've done.
For their percent of it.
Yeah, you'll never be able to get it ready by the time these guys hit Saker's relationship.
Besides that, you have to chat up the energy and make sure you got those sewers.
So, I like that idea of at least not holding you up and having you to pay the expense of mobilization costs just to do 400 feet of level. If that's something that you feel like is fair.
You know, we don't know what the cost is going to be down the road when that becomes available.
Yeah, so that's my panic. You're saying a number with way more. I take it as way less, that'd be great,
Well, if you did 300, I could tell you probably plus the 75% is 8,000.
Six.
2,000 less. So 2,000 less. 6,000.
That's just a chip to do that part of the base and all that stuff.
Well, then I think we got all that expense to put the base in.
And we knew that, but now it's anywhere from 8 to $10,000 more on top of that. 1 year down the road, 2 years down the road, and we're looking at two.
Yeah, so I'm going to make sure.
If we chip seal next year, who knows? Depending on the irrigation project, too, that's a...
Well, and when, like, do we have to have a road in as we're building, or is that the last project of the irrigation? I just keep thinking we're tearing all up, so have that been done soon?
Always a couple months in the pocket to date.
I don't hold on to the mall.
You'll probably be happy to put the chip seal out, actually, when we're going to come right down to it. In the spring, or the best.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, before all this, I would probably plan on even, you know, trying to get some rolling mill or something to put on there for the best.
What is selling you that out there?
I haven't talked to Lamont or Scott Anderson.
I've been trying to get it out of Lamont for a city too, but apparently it's in a lawsuit.
With Lamont?
Well, that would be a good base. You can shape that and chip seal that over, and I can't tie that, make it move it over.
But I really think they need an agreement if they, you know, how do you word that agreement on the sewer and water line?
And then that's how to really draw it that they heard her check. I mean, the one that says she's supposed to pay it, they don't pay it. It's weird because it doesn't say lot split, it says when you develop it. That's the touchy thing. That's the weird thing, the way it's worded.
Do you think you talk to her often? She'd be willing to. No?
I wouldn't if I was her.
No.
I mean, come on, would anyone, do you want to give me some money because you're close to me, you know? You're coming down the road, you want to give me some money? I wouldn't. If that's her,
Well, that's my hope with the 5 year agreement, was that at least you'd be able to get some of that bill.
Well, haven't that in 5 years, you keep saying that it's after that, it just kind of dies?
So basically, it just kind of dies at that. But that just protects you from, like I'm saying, from basically Robin coming in next month and saying, Corey and Shadow has just agreed to pay for this, now all I got to do is do 100 feet.
Yeah.
And I got the whole benefit of theirs doing the 300 feet.
You know, if somebody sees your house up there, that's going to make that property next to you.
It increases that property, Robin's more money, because now you just paid to have the road extended. You made it more cost effective for her to develop that. And so that's why trying to protect your investment is a part of that too.
Well, absolutely. If there's any more development beyond the TIBs, they should pay for that infrastructure that we brought in. That's what it's one home, half. You know, they should pay for half of what their expense was.
How do you do it on your power? What percent or half? Does it go down each year, or how do you do that?
We do usually after a quarter. And we kind of say, okay, well, there's this many lots here, so this is what can be developed on the way out to where this person extended the line. And so that's the percentage we kind of, if somebody comes and bills, that's the percentage they have to pay. So if there's only two properties there, you know, so I think it's going to add up to them. How many acres are wrong, nobody?
Thanks.
So, yeah. But that would be for the interest of the Bible company.
I know, that's why I want to protect them somehow. There's some type of a, it's hard. We've got to somehow put something in there to protect them, even on the word of the cost.
Well, how many lots can we hook into and they didn't try?
They can go all the way to 900 east.
Huh?
They can go all the way to 900 east.
But they didn't try.
Yeah, they have a planetary lot sooner.
Yeah.
More than ever built in there. So again, it's like, we got to protect them somehow. We got to protect them so that it doesn't get subdivided next month. And then not help, pretty much.
Right, and not help at all. There should be an offset to that.
There should be an offset.
So here's a session in the general provisions that says exceptions to avoid hardship. Whenever the tract to be subdivided is, with the agreement of the city council, such unusual shape or size or surrounded by such development and unusual conditions that a strict application of requirements contained in them result in real difficulties and substantial hardships or injustices, the city council, after receiving recommendations from the planning commission, may vary or modify such requirements so that the subdivider is allowed to develop his property in a reasonable manner, but also at the same time the public development interests of the city and surrounding area are protected in general terms that this title is preserved. And I think that's a good place where we can say
they're covered, they were driving through,
I got it. Yeah, or sidewalk.
That covers what we're trying to do right here.
Because I think it would be a hardship to put through a better, and then what's the sense? The city ends up maintaining it. So I feel like personally what we throw out at the table is reasonable. And I just feel like from here on out we need to be more vigilant in making sure that we do as close as we can to the standard.
Well, making sure the subdivider pays for these roads.
And that starts with the planning zoning.
Yeah.
This is a master development buyer anyway.
Yeah.
But the subdivider, they have to have these things in place before they sell lots.
But then it's done right then. Then it's all that's wrong with the right line of so be it.
Yeah.
Because I advise it at that price, they know it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, again, to me, I think we need to protect them somehow to help them.
Yeah, because they bought without knowing.
They bought without knowing, and they, you know, so again, we've got to get an agreement that anybody attaches onto that and helps offset their cost, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
Now,
it's done to be. I think in the past we've written up some sort of a contract so that when anything like that happens, the new person knows. Like when TJ did the water extension outside of town, now there was something written up that if it's got water, there's a certain amount of money that has to go back to him.
Before he built, he knew upfront that he was going to have to pay for that extension, so yes. I think that's where our planning commission comes in, and that's where the infrastructure for strong offense.
Yeah, so
the other consideration is you can look at that road and say, okay, is it
unless it's an underground?
Is it going to benefit the city? Does it fit in with the city's transportation master plan in the long scheme of things 20 years down the road? And if it does, we may consider allowing the city to share the cost of chip seal that it's going to benefit with them.
Well, essentially, we're going to tie in up there where once you've made come across,
tie it so we have it.
So now I don't know that that's going to be in the time of it.
And then in the future, who knows?
It's almost definitely time to cut, you know, if they want to subdivide that more. And if they do, we need to put in the infrastructure.
Well, in my opinion, they can't subdivide it according to this ordinance any further until they find a way to move that road.
Yeah.
We have to get somebody to interpret that for us. Because if Robin wants to go on that, that makes that road longer than 400 feet. Without waves, so if only one way or out, then you end up in the same situation you do with your subdivision.
I can't protect our fence. Why do you come up to me? Just on the suit.
I noticed for the first time today, going up to the city shed road there, that there's no through roads. For now, third east on, the fourth east, on, the third east.
Yes.
That's the first time I noticed that.
Really?
All these years, I've been in this town. My wife and I, we like to go cruising at night, too. So I looked that way, and there's that road, and I went up around to get to it, and I'm going, there's no through road. Corey, what's your thoughts?
It's just an expense of, you know, kind of shocks me a little bit on, you know, it's, I'm just trying to comprehend all of it. But I do realize it's something that kind of needs to be held to a standard. Yeah, it would have been nice to have known that going into it, to get that a little bit better than this. In January, when we started taking steps to do this, but you know, I know you guys are trying to help us out, you know, and be fair, you know, with the...
It's a weird predicament.
It's weird, but it is a...
It's weird. All the roads that they're aware of, it's going to be tricky if Robin does ever sell that, and it's going to get weird.
I see another problem coming up, you know, with the flight lots there, too, with the other, you know, but that's something else.
So right now we don't let flag lots happen, but again, like the Sanders, basically that's a flag lot. It's sad because again, our owners that sit on flag lots, when was that approved? I don't want to know that approved.
How are we going to make another subdivision right next to the one that's up there right now? Unless we get some ordinance passed to put in the sidewalks.
Well, I think the sidewalks are already in the ordinance. We just have to enforce it.
They're in there. It's like just developing a subdivision that said the developer has to do all that.
My gosh, we got so much of that in this community right now where they weren't held.
The way they did that Pleasant View subdivision, that should have never been done that way.
Yeah. That's been our ordinance. That ordinance was created in 1992, and I don't know if that subdivision was before that.
I think it probably was, wasn't it?
And I hate to say that, but I think all of us see that same problem coming now is that little creek space. It's like, how do we...
Well, at that point, the developer, the subdivider needs to...
And then you put a nice home in there that enhances the property above you. And I know if I owned it, I'd probably try to sell 6 1-acre lots. And I'd take that road up that another 300 feet and I'd put a through road and I'd have lots on both sides. And that's what I do with six. I mean, and that's what I see going to happen. And then we get a road all the way around into Watson, and we have a little road going in and out. I don't think it's very far off.
Line up with the third.
No, I think that one's a half.
Line up with the fourth, Jeff.
Three quarters, I think it's smoky.
It's a little above fourth.
Yeah.
It would be like 425. What's your street address? 425 East?
It's actually third east.
So third?
No, it's fourth east.
So it really would.
It's like 430 east.
Yeah. So it'd be 430 east would be the one that would have to go over to connect on. So it really wouldn't give another ingress, egress to the subdivision. I mean, it would help, but it's still, it's just right at the entrance, right? But you could go one way or the other, so.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but it's better.
Yeah. Right past your home is where the road would go through.
Well, it alleviate a lot of traffic out to north.
Yeah.
The folks that are heading north.
Another thing to consider is maybe just, you know, in the agreement, maybe the city covers the cost of the rail and the chips and they pay for the labor or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to be a little bit more fair where they kind of work us. That's kind of how we do it, like in the city, like when it comes to power.
The way we kind of do it is like the infrastructure inside the city should be there. So that's why a customer pays their connection fee. And if that's all it takes, that's all it takes. The thing is, we need to extend the primary line, which mostly now is really not overhead anymore, it's underground. The city covers half of that cost. Because the city benefits from it, exactly. And so, and then the customer pays the other half. And so that's kind of how we work it out.
And the only reason I say that is because that road is on Main, that lines up with Fifth Mill, it's on Main Grid. But if it was just another street that was just specifically for that subdivision, I could see that over there. But you gotta look at everybody above there, so then again, Robin's gonna come back and want the same thing. The person above Robin's gonna want the same thing too.
That's true.
Now, we want the
should have an easement along there anyways.
But I'm just saying, Justin's saying, hey, we don't have to do that.
For the greater good of the community, as you look at the transportation grid, maybe not really actually, should we go to the call, we're going to make them something, if we put it all the way around and hook it in, so we have a...
Yes, we would.
We will?
Yeah.
So, we're going to be responsible anyway.
No, I'm just saying, to help buy out the land or pay.
So right now, the way it is the developer or landowner, however you want to word that, has to pay for that road. Instead of Justin saying, is the city willing to do it part of that? But then it opens up, so everybody east of there is going to do the same thing.
Well, you're going to have to do it for the next one.
Even Glenn Pill, if he comes in, he'll say, well, you're going to pay half a mile, that was right. But I think if you look at that situation, it's a little different, because we don't need Glenn's subdivisions to circulate traffic through town. So,
yeah.
It's nice to identify what the capital improvements are, and if they're part of the city's future master plan, which with what could very well be, a main road that helps move traffic around versus a subdivision that's kind of off the main grid that doesn't really benefit the transportation other than that dollar.
If you back up, that's not the main grid, then it needs to be why you're there.
Yeah,
so they're going to catch up already. We come in and get an easement to come through from truck around each place over and tie road in. Can we come through and do that legally and just say,
we'd have to condemn the land.
Yeah, you exercise eminent domain, which is expensive.
Unless you can get the property owners to cooperate.
Well, I would still have to buy. You might be shy, wrong, might say,
yeah, that helps my property again.
Well, I don't think she's going to have a choice if she wants to do that. She's not going to put a road through there to try this way, and then
you'd have to buy some other landowners too.
Who else is out there besides Robin?
Sure, Nelson.
Jay Nelson owns a big piece, and I'm...
And then I don't know
more than Jay, so
we'd have to work with a halfway property lots to let that house, I guess.
That's your biggest one to get you with Jay Nelson.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, too much.
In their situation here, I think the memorandum is probably the way to go. And right now, just have you put the road up there and down the road. We chip seal. I'm with Justin. I would like to see the city pay out for the chip seal, because it's going to be our road anyway.
But they don't have to do it for everybody else up there.
Well, no, because Robinson's going to come back and obviously think the planning commission does their job or not, because they come in before they can even buy enough and do it. They're up front with the cost. You're going to have to take care of the roads and everything there. We could cover that way right there, just when it comes in. This is what it's going to cost you. You're responsible for the road, the sewer hookups, and the whole works before they ever sell this property. In this situation, it's done. That's my feeling anyway, right now.
I thought we could get by the other property owners.
So I see you a little bit saying about what it
was when it started, rather than right now, like we are.
Yeah, make sure that we get together with the planning commission and say, okay, this is the way it's going to be from here on out. When they come in for a building permit or to do a subdivision, these are the ordinances and the rules that you go by. You're responsible for the road. You're responsible for the sewer. I'm up to her. Well, if Rockland would have known this, okay, if Rockland had known this 2 years ago or a year ago, she would have probably added a little bit more money to the cost of the property, but she would have known she had to cover the road. And then ultimately, So then with all the other property, if we get that, ordinances will get locked down, so that's the way it is. So when they come to City Hall, to Janine or whoever, and say, I want to subdivide this, okay, these are the ordinances that you have to follow, the codes.
I think with Justin, I think every situation is different too.
Yeah.
You got to look at it.
Well, I think maybe that's got us into trouble too, appease every situation. There has to be a basic set of rules of who's responsible for what and
status. That's how we do it out in the county. We have these guys, if there's anybody building out in the county, we have these guys send a work order to get with the people. We have to meet with them and say, hey, this is how it needs to be, this is what.
We don't even give them a quote or anything. We tell them you have to talk directly to the county.
Yeah, and you have to start it away, but now the county is, yeah.
Parents, I'm doing it too, and like, now you're going to have to talk to she, so.
And so what that has occurred for us on public works where we don't do the sewer extension, we don't do the road, they have to pay a contractor to come in and do that. So
So if we get that solid in the, with the commission and solid on some codes, and they come in to apply for a permit to subdivide or whatever, there it is, this is the cost. You want to pass it on to the people who find the lots, or however you want to do it, but this is what you're responsible for. And I know a problem in knowing that, but we would be sitting here discussing this right now. I think that's what we need to do to get that locked down and take the time to, yeah, I think we need to get that one behind us and hopefully we make that decision and then, you know, don't set some precedent that comes back to haunt and say, I'm a little bit reluctant to say that we will pay half because might come to it, but in my own circumstances, for one thing, I think we want eventually to have some kind of road that comes through from that subdivision. And if we had to pay half on all the way through there just to get that road because of a public safety situation, that might be in the best interest of the city to create that incentive in that particular situation. But I don't think that that subdivision is done right from the get-go, then it won't ever be an issue.
So we're talking about $1,500 and beyond half. You're talking right around them. I mean, about $4,000.
So you said it was $8,000
to do that.
Yeah. $400.
And I don't know the rules on the CNC road funds. I think you can pay, use those to maintain existing roads, but you can't create new roads with it. But if they're creating a road, we're basically chip sealing, I think you could call that maintenance and use your zero funds for it. That would help us to pay for half of that. I don't want to try it at all, that's just my gut right now.
So are you ready for a proposal?
Yep.
You want to make a proposal?
Or do we want to see if they're agreed with a proposal for us?
Well, they have to have a proposal.
Yeah, right.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Well, you guys are going to pay all half.
So I'd be proposing, is there any discussion to do something different, more around me?
The city, you know, that road has been deemed over the city. But we skipped steps and that, you know, where we could avoid this whole situation by having the developer put in the road. So we kind of, you know, dropped the ball 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I would be fine with them just because the ball was dropped, just putting in their road base for now and letting them move forward. And then, or you know, paying for half of that chip seal, because it is an advantage to the city to get egress to that subdivision. So I see the, that makes sense for the city to help out there.
Can I throw out some questions, Cole, with your comments? How hard is it to push the gravel road?
So, it's impossible.
Pushing that base.
It's just a little gravel.
So I guess with that being said, I'm fine. We need to be oiled, and I'm fine with the city paying for that, because in the future, we really do need egress to that subdivision, and there is going to be more development going that direction, whether we like it or not. I mean,
pushing out there, I know already sucks. Cole is really good stuff. I've helped him a few times.
Yeah, that gravel in front of behind you will pass there. It's terrible.
I don't even push that.
Just even driving there, it's like that's a all ground that in there.
Got stuff. Of course, I cannot help you.
So the other question on that is, and we talked a lot about getting a turnaround up at the end of that.
If we bring down the walk through, then we'll need a turnaround, right?
Well, we should have a temporary turnaround now, and then
we should go away a lot of the road itself.
And if that goes through there, then you would kind of abandon that temporary and take it back to the regular roadway. But I mean, it's in our ordinance too, and we got the ball on that, and we didn't require that. But I say we had the high commissions all
the way. Yeah, the subdivider should have had that road developed before this was basically.
Well, the car I have in my driveway, that would probably give plenty of room for the snowplow and the garbage truck to turn and back up and make a turn right there.
You know, the back of the driveway. So you're going to be concrete?
No, we're not going to be offset far enough from the property line.
So you can create a little bit of a
curve on the spot there anyway.
That would probably help.
Yeah, but I can do that to help if we need that.
And we really don't need to turn around unless it exceeds 400 feet.
Yeah, the value we need to put in that.
And in that case,
it's 390 feet.
Yeah.
But see, just the reason any time you go past the intersection of another house, you need to turn around.
I need any bit to turn around, whether it's 200 or 100 feet.
I agree with it. When you get 400 feet, you need it. So, how you interpret that is,
we're going to have to arm wrestle. Yeah, I don't know. The way I read it is that if you go 400 feet, you need to have a turnaround. 120-foot turnaround.
But do you read it that you cannot get a street that goes further than 400 feet?
You can have that street to go well.
Also has a turnaround.
You got to have a turnaround. I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy. I bet.
So you're saying you have a 1500 foot bed and the other ones have to come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
Oh, that's
right. So there is something goofy there.
The street shall not exceed 400 feet.
That's what you resolved on another deal. Anyway, I make a motion if we think that these guys are amenable to that and the council feels like that's fair. I think the points that have been brought out because of what Ronnie said, I think we did overlook some things and it came back to these guys. Ultimately, if the road was put in, they probably would have paid for it anyway. But that is probably part of the main grid where it's on Fifth North. I think if you were to do a master plan, that would be part of those capital improvements to eventually carry that road through and make it a city street improved. So in that light, I would make a motion that we go ahead and draft a memorandum of understanding with the TIPS property owners that they go ahead and build the road to standard with roadways. And
and whatever, if it's 24 feet, 6 inches thick, or whatever our standard is. I met at a later date when the city is doing one of their maintenance projects that we chip seal as part of the project, knowing that the tips will pay half of the cost. That's my motion. I want your guys' thoughts on before we vote on it.
Can you warn me when the project's going to happen?
Yeah.
Just so I know. Shush. I am free. Okay, I just like to...
We'll just send the bill.
That's fine, too. I will...
It would be next... Free. It would be no sooner than next year, at least, for sure. And then maybe in a situation where we can work something out where you don't have to come with that at once, maybe over a period of 2 or 3 years to pay $500. Oh, those are things that I think can be negotiated, and just to understand that you'll be on that.
And it's something we've got to enforce that on.
As long as I know, I'm happy.
And then I want something more than that to make sure that they're covered as far as the other extensions that they're coming to. And this man ran with them that... For a certain amount of years, whatever, that they would reimburse the
service. So that might be a separate agreement, I think, if this is an extension of payments,
where we have an agreement with them that any money that to cover the road is what you're seeing as your proposal.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that would work, though, because the developer would pay to put that in. So what will the city be recouping the money to give them?
No, I want good protection put in there to make sure that if another developer, like I've always said, if another developer comes and does it, then they have to pay half of their improvements. They have for a certain amount of years, and they have to pay a certain percentage.
I think that can be a different extension.
Okay. For the sake of the road, so the sake of the road basically is they will put the road base in. When it comes time to chip seal, which will be at least a year out, the city would be paying half of that. Yeah. How far is it up your driveway? Do you know approximately?
I don't know the exact footage. Oh, it's over 300.
You're talking about 250 from Jerry's corner?
It's 250 from the property line from the manhole.
Okay.
It's where the... That's where the chip seal is, and I think we'd have gone probably another 100 feet at that. Yeah.
So I guess what I kind of wanted to put in there was a footage.
Yeah.
Footage type deal, because again, I don't want the developer to come above you and say, you need to pay half of mine, because we need to get in this area.
He's got to move on the way your property isn't the way you think the road.
But like, we're willing to pay half of, say, 350 feet or something.
Other side of the embryo of a chip seal now.
Yes.
Yeah, there's got to be a...
There's got to be a footage down there. There's got to be a footage or a description of what we're willing to do
after. Otherwise, we're going to have to pay for half of the way. We don't need to wrap around.
So that's why we want that footage or something type of
that. Yeah, we got to cover the way to get them. We've got to cover everything.
Yeah.
I can tell you nationally, they were talking about how people are just evacuating the cities.
Oh yeah, we're going to see an explosion grow.
Oh, it's getting so bad, and they said that they're just evacuating the cities. And I think we're going to be blessed down here.
You go up Skyline, we're smart enough to get out of the
hill. Yeah,
that's where they're living.
What's the first stop here?
That's the primary residence.
Yeah.
For a while.
I remember when I first started here, we could leave.
No.
I mean, there'd be an outage of Skyline in the winter.
Yeah,
so we wouldn't worry about it until spring next year.
Okay.
Now, yeah.
I mean, that's their secondary homes.
Yeah.
And they're not going up there to look out.
Yeah, well, okay.
He's got down with us.
We can't come back later as a city.
But their hopes are screwed up.
I agree with you, but we're going to see an explosion of growth. And then if we don't have
one, I think it's going to come quick. 50 inches, we're going to
We're not prepared for it
or something like that. It needs to be.
I think from this point forward,
you know,
the rules have to be
pretty darn plain.
Yeah, the developer, the subdivider puts in the infrastructure before any lots go.
Yeah,
and that's very responsible. And the old one, they're responsible.
Exactly. Yeah, so just kind of, I think in
and this one is kind of a, maybe the last situation.
It's going,
well, hey, sure,
that's why I think that's a very important thing. Saying that you guys are going to be happy with that. In that proposal, right? But the 350 by 24 feet singles,
right? That was used to be with the place.
Right. So again, that was the city, if we decided to double chip seal it, the second chip seal would be on us.
Yeah,
it would just be a maintenance,
right,
treatment, so,
right.
Okay. Okay, so that's his proposal.
Did we decide on footage?
To 350 feet.
Okay.
All right, that's in my motion. 24 feet wide single chip seal.
You get all of that, Dean?
You just have to make a
You only signed the agreement. Hold on,
right. Okay, so I'll check it. Okay. So I've got Justin making a motion and Russell seconding it that we do an agreement with the TIPS on the road. But they gravel it, put the road base in, and then we split the cost of chip sealing, single chip seal, to the distance of 350 feet from the existing asphalt on whatever ship that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how we would be good.
Well, what about the property owner right where it takes off there on the corner, please?
Is that Colleen in there?
Yes.
She fronts the other road.
She fronts the other road.
So again, this is why I'm trying to protect them again, because Colleen could very well want to sell her back lot and somebody build up her back lot. So
let me real quick.
And but again, trying to protect you guys on your investment is what I really want to do. So that's kind of what we got. So just run over again. Up to 350 feet, the chip seal, 24 feet wide. Roll call.
Who's that going to do? Sorry.
Paul Mullen.
Yes.
Okay. Justin.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yes.
And Rafi.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, it took us so much time.
No, it's good.
Wow.
It was good. It was good discussion.
Yeah, well, it opened up, it helped us to look forward because we got to do some things as a council to make sure that this happens again. They know up front they're responsible for roadways, sewer.
We got to get a better checklist that goes to planning and zoning on any lots.
Right.
Yeah,
any lots.
Everything spelled out.
On that too, I think if the planning commission looks at it and uses that hardship paragraph in there, I feel for the
participation.
Oh my gosh.
That recommendation should come to the council. I don't think they should put on that decision on that.
Any variance should come to the city council because that's already in the.
Yeah, that's already in the top of the areas.
So even like a variance on a exception of for each of the last split, or I don't remember that approved to plan zone and never come to city council on, but they should write that.
Very
much. That because they write it up.
Yeah, they should write it up and write it to the council.
Yeah.
We look at it and make sure that the council is okay with it.
Yeah.
And I think this is already in the code.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. We just have to follow through so the policies and procedures that are in place.
Okay.
Yeah. From step one.
Yeah.
I don't even think that they can record that at the county until it's been approved by the city.
What's that?
The plat.
The plat.
Yeah.
A normal lot split, they can't plan in zoning because you're a normal lot split. And they can be recorded
without.
As long as it meets the variance or the descriptions in the lot size that has 790 foot road frontage and the square footage. The planning zoning can do all that, but they're going to have to come to city council.
The planning and zoning has to approve it before
yeah.
It can be recorded by
county.
That doesn't count really.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
No, that's good. So you can move onward and outward now.
I hate them with this.
Onward and worse.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, you can.
Well, any lot split is a subdivision. That's the definition of subdivision. You've subdivided the lot.
So again, we don't watch that because going back to Smokies and Dugsdale, those lots were not split.
Right.
They were already in existence.
Right.
So yeah, that wording has got to be watched very carefully because that wasn't a lot split. But those, anytime the services have to be extended,
that's when we catch that.
Yeah, and that's where that one goofed up. So it's more development or anything else. And I told Dave on these lot splits, because we're having so many of them, that we need to get somebody to do it, right? They need to have a state, and somebody has to go out and measure and make sure they're not putting a lot split through building or a building. There's got to be more visual than what's going on right now.
The survey would be awesome when we're in a lot split.
You got to watch the survey, though, because the issue they got to?
No, they didn't.
No, you got to wait on it because the surveys are off so far. So the city becomes liable for all the
hands working and looking up the weeds.
So say you're always got on these things.
I thought we would all of this.
I thought we might have ordered that in the survey. They discontinued that.
We need to find something to elevate it.
Because all the survey markers are out.
I know they're not.
So if you start moving one, you move a whole block of them on these sides.
I don't think they're going to take any terrible
things. The online platform, they have a regular.
Goodness, but they do need to elevate their game a little.
Which I think it will help a little bit because it will send an email directly to Colbert and Shane and anybody else you want me to have it sent to so that you guys can go out and look at it before any approval is given. It also makes it so that they have to upload any pictures that you're requesting that you can look at on their Colbert. You like it for the fire business, don't you?
It's fantastic.
I mean, we can customize it any way that you want it to be, where it has to go, like, my business license is right now, pre-approval comes to me. Once I give it pre-approval, then it goes to Dave for him to check the planning and zoning and make sure. Then it comes, if it's something that has to have a fire permit, a fire inspection, it goes to them, and then it comes back to me for final approval. So we can do similar as far as building permits too, where it comes to me for pre-approval and I just make sure that they've got everything. Like with his fire permits, I just make sure that they've uploaded a picture before I give it pre-approval and then it sends it to Coulter. With a building permit, we can do the same thing. When it comes to me, I make sure that they've uploaded the pictures, and then from there, I can have it sent to you, I can have it sent to Dave, I can have it sent to these guys, and then from there, it shows the person, as they're wanting to know what's going on with their building permit, they can walk in and say, oh, it's pending fire department approval, or it's pending town department, or whatever, it's pending. But the final approval doesn't happen until all of those departments have looked at it and everybody's given their approval before. So I really like this software. I really think it could benefit us as far as that building permit. And I've got everything set in. I just haven't told them to make it go live yet because I wanted to talk and make sure that I know who needs to be receiving it. But I think it really could help.
My shame, we could put everything that's required right in there.
And it also leaves it so that Coulter's gotten pictures for the burn permits that it doesn't look right, or like somebody sent it in that they wanted to burn with in a plastic tote. And Coulter said that, I need to know where you're going to be burning that because the tote's not okay. You can send them a message and say, hey, the reason I'm not approving this right now is because I need this.
Because you're lacking this paper or this document or this picture.
But it also gives you a way to be texting back and forth, messaging back and forth on what they still need to do.
But to approve a lot of our burn permits, it takes me seconds during the day versus having to do 50 of them on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
That means so.
According to our code, it doesn't distinguish the difference between a lot split and a regular federal subdivision. And so I guess that's if the council or the planning commission wants to look at a lot split differently, not require plot and everything else that goes into a regular subdivision, I guess they can do that, or we can do that, but we still have to provide a plot map of how many footage is in which lot. Basically just a sketch, but it doesn't get signed off by all the parties and then recorded like a regular Mylar.
No.
And that's an expense, but in my opinion, it solves a lot of these problems, but on the other hand, if you've got a lot split that's within town where all roads and everything's established, you don't need that. Something like that up there would probably have been nice.
I think that we need to have more of a checklist that planning and zoning can present to somebody that's doing a lot split. It doesn't matter where it is. You're responsible for the road. If it needs to be extended, you're responsible for it.
And I'm going to call anything in the city right away. If you need to extend the sewer line, you need to extend the main sewer line. Once it leaves the right away and comes to your house, then it's lateral. And anything that's out in the city easement should be main sewer line, no exceptions given, no nothing hardships or whatever, because you know as soon as that line gets extended, it's at a normal cost. Somebody else is going to put it onto it across the street or something like that. So again, if we have a checklist that we, planning and zoning could say, this is what we require on any lot split, and we try to list all these things out there,
and then they can take out what doesn't apply to them.
Yeah, well, it's basically, this is what's required on any lot deal at a minimum. If a sewer line needs to be extended, it's a sewer main, it's not a lateral until it goes the other direction out of the city property into
the other side. It's needed. You can do the same thing you did here. If somebody else wants to work on, they have to, before they can work on, they have to pay for half of
right. You're in control of that for so many years, and so if a neighbor across the street puts into your sewer line, they have to help offset that cost.
But if I know that, and I'm the neighbor, I just say I'm not going to hook on for 5 years, and then we'll have to pay for that.
Most people, again, if they're serious, they're going to...
As long as we set a year and time for sunset on it,
I think a lot of it's keeping track of the records.
Yes, and sorry, if they don't go by law, they have to begin, so they're breaking the law.
That's true.
I mean, just make it as part of the evidence so that they hook into an existing line paid by a prior builder that they are responsible for.
So they'll hook up via whatever. Well, they still are. There's still, to a certain point, I'm just using Corey Shire for an example now. So 10 years down the road from now, somebody up three blocks is hooking up, extending the sewer line again, they've already been reimbursed, you know, for their line, or they've got the use of that line. That's why there's got to be a time frame on that, because you don't want to go back 20 years and try to divvy up the two lines.
It gets so upstanding.
They bought the property and they moved and nobody knows where they are. And
right.
It can be really messy.
I'll tell you, though, Justin was right. If Robin would have known about this, Corey and Shiloh would have probably paid for the road from the gate on.
Well, she would have put it into her agreement.
Yeah, they would have put it into her agreement. But that would have took the heat up, that would have took the city out of our bus.
Exactly.
And so again, that would have given ourselves cover better than what we...
If that checklist is given to the planning and zoning with every lot split, you understand you have to do this,
J.D. Sharp,
and you sign it.
There you go. You're liable.
Or whoever buys that lot is liable 100% to extend that line, and everything's done.
That's where we got to get. So we don't have these knots like this.
Yeah. All right, anyway, get back to the agenda here. Let's get done. Participation.
We have a Shane Ward and Colter Allen, who each would like to participate.
Okay. Shane?
Okay, speaking on the same note, we have the same issue though, Scott. Like, I want to do either a resolution or an ordinance saying, hey, we won't, we're going to give you a year. These connection fees that's been paid back in the 1990s or the 1980s, we're not going to honor those anymore. It's just too hard to keep track of that. And it's a waste of time going back and looking for somebody that's paid like $200 or something for it back then. And so I'm going to be bringing that just so you get a heads up, bringing that to the council here soon. Also, on another note is...
Maybe on that Shane, could you email it maybe ahead, when you get it drafted, email it to everybody and give them time to look at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I like the mayor and the same on the water. Does it take for the water connection? He's got 1 year to use it. Where they pay again. I really not trying to keep track.
Either 1 year, whatever you guys suggest, 1 year, 2 years. Then they have to pay any extra costs? Because that's the thing, the prices are going up so fast.
Yeah, well, I get calls all the time, Scott, man, these guys paid back in the 1980s. And I'm like, do they got a receipt? And I'm like, well, how long are they paying then?
So, we'll go back in your records and...
You don't have a problem I can see with that, is you can't charge them the full price again, can you?
But unless they come up with a receipt,
yeah, I think you might approve that then. Unless the customer comes up with a proof that a portion had been paid.
I don't think it should be the city.
I don't like the way
that customer's responsibility.
But connection fees in Haiti versus connection fee time.
Why would somebody pay a connection fee and then wait that long to put it in?
Wasn't that Jackie, I can't think of his last name, that brought in the receipts from 1970?
1978.
That he had prepaid for some on some of his property, and he wanted us to honor it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe you could credit them what they've paid if they provide proof, but they have to pay the day's rate.
Yes, they have to pay the going rate of that.
So we can credit them for what they paid in the 70s.
They can prove that they paid.
If there's proof, but they have to pay today's connection fee.
But that responsibility for finding the proof should not fall onto this.
No.
And that's a problem with Skyline. If we fired them in the past, so I'm going back in these records, just looking and see. Okay, yeah, it's
wasting too much time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be here. Yeah, it's a waste of time. So that's not this. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. We'll draft it up and then we'll.
Or you can just email it to Genie, and Genie can forward it out to everybody.
So what you had a subdivider up there that took a whole bunch of lots.
Yeah, and he paid the connection fee for all of them.
Probably.
Yeah, they're $200 a piece.
Yeah.
Then. And now, what, $2,200?
Yeah. It could be the same way.
It's called 1850. But I'm going to pay the hookup fee for the impact fee, wasn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know? So it could be the same way there. It's like, let's turn it up and just pay this hookup fee. Well, I'm not going to do it for 5 years, but I'm going to need the impact fee because I paid that hookup fee. So again, you honor it for a certain amount of time, and then after that, it's like, you got to bring it up to whatever today's price is.
And we're talking about connection fees or impact fees?
Connection fees.
Yeah.
But see, again, what I'm saying is that timeline, again, would be critical looking at what that we're supposed to put back on an impact fee, because
I want to. I guess I'm having a hard time thinking, see, where that situation would be on the water. Is there situations that we've had, or not yet? But there have been some where, like the Macy's would be a good example, there was a really old badger meter with galvanizer on there. They didn't want to pay a new connection fee because there was a meter metal there. And I told them, you can't use that. It's
not standard.
It's a little standard. And they were quite upset they had to pay a water connection fee when...
Did you put it in the and stuff in?
Yeah. We're running to these older lots too. Eventually, originally they did have power on or water or whatever like that. And but who knows?
The Iowa Works house is set up. It has vacant for how many years now? And yet the power was there, the hookup was there, the water was there.
But we got one right now, another one with water. We're on Fifth Lift. There's a road with Dolby House that's half fallen down. And they want to know if the water and sewer's there. Our house has been falling down now since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so whatever is there, it's not going to be any good. It's going to be a galvanized line. It's going to have to be a bad. I would personally ban it. I won't cut to it.
You maybe put something in to go ahead and create a resolution or whatever that says that if the city determines the service to be
That's good, but the code.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But we need to have somebody check into the legal side of it, see just what we can do. There ought to be a timeframe. Well, you got lots to prove back. We're talking 1978. That's 42 years ago.
That's the year I was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we honored it. Well, yeah, if it doesn't pass inspection, then they need...
Because he had the check. The proof. Had their sheet.
Because the 1 year type deal like you talked.
Yeah, yeah.
And that had to be brought to today's prices.
Yes,
covered.
Yeah.
We will be covered.
Yeah. That's right. I think we need to get something in there where there's a certain amount of years that the hookup fee is good for. And after that, you have to pay anyway. If it's not used in a certain amount of time, then they gotta buy another hookup fee. They gotta pay for another hookup fee.
And if they can't prove that they've...
Well, even if they paid for it 10 years ago, it's not good anymore.
Right.
You gotta pay for it later. This is the way
it's expired.
Yeah, that's where
it's expired. You guys, whether it's gonna be 1 or 5 years or 3 years or whatever, I don't mind going back 5 years.
I don't think you go any further than 2 years.
2 years?
Because of a building permit, it's good for 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
And the hookup fees can be hooked right in there with that. And so that's where I come up
to. I thought would be open.
Whether you guys saw it, I would have been able to have it for a minute. No way.
So what if I have a customer that has been on the line for 4 years, but my house has been there, I've been using it. The line somehow happens to it between me and the main.
That's the city. Well, that's existing.
That's existing, and you're using it.
Yeah.
So that's not a new hookup.
That's the difference.
Because it's not a new hookup. We're talking about a new hookup.
So yeah, the city's gained the revenue off that for 40 years. So how many years you've had that?
Versus I come in and pay $200 for a hookup fee, and that I'm coming in 40 years later, $100.
So you're saying this hasn't been used.
Right.
Well, yes.
It has never been hooked up and never had a
side side.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never had a deal on it.
Okay.
Yeah. But the connection piece.
But if you go to 2 years, though, is what I'm saying is that we went and put that in and pay the hookup. They signed up a bill on for 5 years.
They would have to get a new building permit because you're building permits.
They wouldn't have to pay for another connection fee because that kind of slid up the standard, right?
This is not what that's
about. Well, this is not having anything to do with the property.
Doesn't even have a service rather than
that. Yeah, no.
Now they're just trying to pay.
They're just trying to.
They know it's going to go up in 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I explained.
Except for other stamps, the people.
Yeah.
See, when it would have been at least a meter or something, that would have been lost.
I would say for those that they paid out of the end and then went back through it and used it, so they want to come.
But we would still be getting the base on that, the base be on that.
Well, so it should still be on a meter that's like that. We should be,
we always have.
Yeah.
You know, water, right?
Well, it's
no, because you can turn water off, but meter can still sit there.
And then they'll have to pay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good now.
Okay, then on another thing is there's going to be a big, I don't know, you guys remember, I know Ronald, I can do a presentation again sometime, but on our UMass allocation side of things, we've got a pretty diverse portfolio. You know, we got wind, we got some hydro, we got coal, we got gas, a little bit of everything, but we don't really have solar.
Yeah.
So there's a big solar farm going in 80 megawatts near Logan. It's called the Steel One Solar. It's in Box Elder County, probably 20 miles northwest of Logan. And the price for it is pretty cheap. I was looking at our portfolio, I called Calvin and talked to him, and he kind of ran some scenarios on what it would look, and he was thinking anywhere from 200 to 300 kilowatts would look pretty good in our portfolio. And And so the price per megawatt hour is $31.35. So that'd be 3 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's pretty cheap. That's like the Colorado service project.
So that's the buy into the project.
Yeah, that would be our cost for buying per kilowatt hour. It's 3 cents. And so this, it's just a new one, but they're just trying to collect data on who would be interested.
Amazing when you're going up that far north or to.
Yeah, and that's what's a little weird to me. We're having a study done on the south end of Utah solar production compared to the north end of Utah solar production right now. So
yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see what that study comes out to be.
It's almost like it's on the ring end of the stick to, why are we going to be on the loose scale stuff?
We've been having meetings. Quite a few meetings. It's still moving, but it's moving slowly.
That's not nuclear?
That's nuclear, yeah. And so it's still going through. They kind of just changed the way of doing things to remember the jump module, where the EPA was going to come in and pay for that.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, they're going to come in and pay for a certain amount per year for the full project.
Oh.
And so we're trying to get some stuff put into place. So the next time before we have to approve anything, I'll have them come down and explain to you.
So any ideas on when it's going to be online?
They're open 2027.
I'll be right back. We're here for you.
Yeah, so we're moving along on it. We're still trying. They're really not, it's not costing us anything right now because we're running off of the money from NuScale and Florida, the government. So as soon as they start pulling money out on the project, I'll let you know in our bills. And I think those are the things. Oh, and the polls are supposed to be here this week.
Do you think we need to get those slides out of this?
I don't know. I'll
call the chain and ask it.
Yeah.
If we need to, we can.
Because I did.
I know. It's got pretty long last.
Do we have hours to go on those?
Yes, we do.
Hours for us?
Yeah. The polls were supposed to be in Quebec in the middle of May, and they got delayed because of COVID. And so the fact that they're still out in the hardware store, and they're getting nervous because they're starting to die, and they're not cleaning the house.
Well, I talked to HC, Jerry. The Chief Application, soon the polls get here, and they're going to make it a priority for this project to get done in the next whatever the work days, you know, we're just going to bust our butt to get it all up and everything in, so because it's been so long, and that would be starting to fly on and all that stuff.
So, Colby, you'll talk to Gina or Jolene or,
tomorrow?
Because if not, I think we need to hang a rope up there in the shed and go get them and hang them up there and wire them.
An office shower.
I don't know what you're talking about then.
So Shane, is that solar power, something that we would rely on, or would it just kind of be a luxury to get cheaper power?
It would
just look good in our portfolio. That's all we'll do.
Because if it's something like we're going to be relying on, I just question
it. No, you can't rely on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because we still peak at night. People get home from work, and during the day, and the hydros are producing, we peak around 7 o'clock at night.
People get home, the air conditioners turn.
Exactly.
So they have dishwasher and whatever has to store that.
So what they do is during the day, the prices are going to be pretty cheap. Power prices are going to be pretty cheap. And so, but at night time, we'll still use it. If we get this irrigation project in, I was hoping to maybe offset it with, using the unit 4 as a peaking plant, to kind of shade the peak, once this, right now we just can't do it because of the size of the ponds. The search farm is just too small right now. Vehicle can't last through the night.
Oh, I see.
And so, but yeah, you know, I mean, I think we went on a good route, giving the irrigation farmers a different rate, you know. So they run it, they run during, they don't run, they cost more during peak hours when they're running than, we give. So right in the middle of the day when solar's on, it's going to be kind of cheap, and then right in the middle of the night, it's going to be cheap. Other than that, you're going to be
well, that's what I mean, they won't even be producing in the night on solar.
Yeah, solar, no. We'll have to get all we can during the day. And so that's why I also am like, and then maybe 200 kW or maybe 150 or something, you know, just so we have something, you know, for the photo. Because right now I got Wasatch really down on that. They want to, I can bring them on board on our allocations because they're all about being green. And so they can use our portfolio and see that we are on the right path eventually. And they can get, I don't know how they do it, they can get
some kind of credit.
Yeah, some kind of credit for what they got. They wanted to do the whole campus solar, and I'm like, there's no way you can do that. I'm like, you can't stand to that. It's not working. I mean, we're all looking into other options too, maybe like some like community solar. So if people don't want to put solar panels on their house, they can just buy allocations into a city grid solar system. So that's something we're looking into too. I know Boulder and stuff like that, and Lehigh and a few other cities and so on. I just don't see it here yet.
That makes you though, it's hard to know.
It is.
Yes. Thank you.
One thing I want to keep you that day long, our GIS is still moving forward. We come down on this here this week, helping us around a lot of the stuff we don't have still. And so that's really coming along really well. We're about 80% complete on mapping all of our.
Is that a map you received today on that?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's looking good. Yeah, we're really making some progress on that. Potholes, we've got all of our east-west roads done. We started on our north-south roads. My goal is to have them done by the 4th of July. I think that's an achievable goal. So that's looking really good.
Can I suggest something maybe? I know we bought a broom a few years ago.
Yes, sweeper.
I just love these intersections and stuff. We get a lot of gravel and that sort of stuff on my list to get down to all the intersections. And just along the shoulders of some of those, there's been some rocks from people's driveways that we have to push them back. Yeah. And it would clean the town up pretty nice to just sweep those back. Yeah, it's not nothing that needs to, it's not pressing, but that's on my list for this. I'm going to kind of get the shoulders wet.
This would cost you maybe run a water truck with it.
We had water on that sweep on that road. So, you know,
so it's nice
to have. So these guys are getting all
water. Oh, no. They will anyway.
We're going to start mowing heavy tomorrow again. That's all I'm going to go to that. Try to have roads mowed by the 4th also. Hopefully this helps mitigate some firework problems.
Yeah.
So we're working on that. And then today, I had a small issue I'm just going to let you guys know about. On 4th East, the Jones family. So 2nd South, 4th East. They're placing boulders out in the city right away to protect their chain link fence. They're convinced that everyone's just going to drive through.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So they were out there placing more today, and I stopped in and let
said, no way, you can't put stuff out in the city right away, and they had a complete meltdown. They wanted to see me, they wanted to see the city.
And so you guys might hear it from them.
That's fine.
See, where I put the rocks, there is no city right away on my lot.
No.
It goes straight from road to your property.
Right.
So people get the idea that I'm putting rocks out in the right away, but there is no right away there.
Right.
If there's right away, there can't be boulders in it, trees,
and then they start saying, well, if you're going to enforce it on me, you got to enforce it on everybody. And I said, we're working on that.
Yeah.
So if it's, they've got a carport or whatever they've got out in the city right away, we're working on that.
Orange barrels with ribbons tied up, question boilers,
So that brings up a good point, though. Me and you just kind of talked about that, because there's a lot of that out town that's actually, Wasatch is a good example, Tuttle Sealy, some of these people that's got out in the city encroachments, but yet they're maintained and then they look great. So we gotta be ready for this because they're gonna come with that type of a deal. I know there's a couple up 7 South that's got like zero steep on the city easement and everything else, but yet they're maintaining them and they're doing a great job with them.
Do you play a few boulders out there?
Yeah, just random boulders to get hit by the something
to stop a car to go with.
No.
So I measured it out with him from center road. His fence is perfect. I'm like, well, if you want to tuck them on the inside of your fence, that'd be great. And he was sure that wasn't going to happen. And so he was quite upset.
Because you got a number on the 4th East that's got rocks and stuff.
And I've had to talk to some people on 6th East, too, that put rocks clear out to the edge of the road.
Got somebody that won't mention the sports here.
I send it in my work truck on top of one, but I don't venture.
Well, they think they can put rocks to the edge of the road.
They don't want people to park in front of their house.
Yeah. Or around the turn, if they think people's coming around the turn too much. So they put the rocks out there to keep people from.
But it's a city right.
That's what they think they can get away with this in Salt Lake City.
Well, they informed me that the reason I live down here is because they don't want to live in an HOA and they're not going to follow these rules. Because down here, they should be able to do whatever they want. They got our 3 feet, isn't it?
That's interesting.
Well, they sure put his fence back 3 feet, so he had room to put a boulder in front of his fence.
Well, close enough.
Come on down through there with your plow and just push them boulder right up against the fence.
Yeah, I need to sell your own driveway and build my house. What's it? I'm
filming that a lot now.
I find that elections are going on.
Who is it?
She called me to make sure it was okay to put her spike down.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so they bought that full half of one.
Now,
that piece right there, the south of it,
yes.
You were the way they got. Maybe I shouldn't say that. So,
the only place I've ever had, we used to coach a lot of sports. They're the only parents I've had from out in Salford. Because they got out of control. That's how it's coming out.
I thought it'd be a little out of control too if I sat in the house with tinfoil on my windows 24/7.
Getting the right away to clean it up.
You might just have to take the old plow and set the angle over and just kind of go down along there.
I won't roll it back over to the market.
I was going to take the loader and I was going to move the bottom center of it.
Yeah, it's on city property.
And then another place that I'm having problems with is on 4th South, and remember that old barn was that they tore down on there?
Just east of my place there, which they're not going to break down. There's some weeds or dead or what it all was out now. Used to be Terry Redderson.
Somebody from Spring City.
Well, I know my duplex if you had
him.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was Terry's mom, and I think she owned that.
She can own it. Somebody else owned just that old hallway.
Yeah.
What can I do then? Can I go remove that?
Somebody's going to pay that. We're going to have that bank for it.
Well, I think we should try it.
You know that
contact person first. I'd be like,
One forty-eight. West.
West.
400.
Where they just moved the rocks from the house to the park?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's Steve Henderson.
You have a number of that?
Mom and him are friends. He actually last year said he was coming to Jethro's because he wanted to put them on something he's not down in Ephraim. And that's when he started moving them. They were putting them on pallets because they were going to pick them up.
Right.
And I don't know what happened from there. So we need to Mont. Mont has just been in contact with him. Maybe we can ask him. But yes, we do have his. We have his.
Did I think he all wanted to do it on the
street? I think he did, yes.
Okay.
But yes, we did have his.
I think we ought to tell him. But I want to tell him that it doesn't matter if you're far too long and you need to be cleaned up.
When the weeds are growing over in the top of them.
You have a certain tile, I can all put him on the sand of it.
Okay.
Boy, I didn't recall that you were marked on one driveway as long as they're moving within 72 hours. You have campers and boats and stuff.
Yeah, well,
but boulders.
And rocks are all.
Yeah, that's another deal. Dead stuff, and you can't go mow, you know, the rideways.
No,
that turns into a disaster for.
So you seen the one that scares me is the Brotherson house around the corner from you. Have you seen how they landscaped that out there?
Yeah.
Third north and like 50 west again.
Mm-hmm. Old Paul Brotherson's old house.
Yeah. That's another one that scares me because I noticed the other day they had a car down through the house and the car was fine, but it had a bike rack on the back of it.
And it was hanging out.
And it was hanging clear out on our street.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that gets dark. Somebody comes around the corner, they're never going to see that bike rack on the back of that thing.
So they did a good job landscaping.
They did. The car just went off the road for
them. Yeah. I'll reach out to with the guys on the thing for a little bit.
Well, I had to talk about that barrel of pork to make sure they're off the road.
Yeah, something that way, because I
know the driveway or barrel of pork.
Yeah. I mean, it was great, because it did help clean it up and make it efficient.
That's what they've done with the backyard back there, the barn and everything. I'm glad to see somebody finally come in and do something.
That house on the corner, that I think, still times I've got to see something over there. Yeah, I was too much back, but
Tom Brotherson supposedly owned that a long time.
Joel and Coleman?
Yeah, and Charles. And so it's Clara Brotherson now, but he's the one that's redoing the house and everything.
So yeah, they might be much running for fire practice.
Yeah, I don't think it's capable.
No, I don't think it is.
Raccoons have a really good idea. It's a raccoon house right now. I had 14 raccoons in the tree behind my house.
Jeez.
So I didn't squeal, they was having a good time out there.
This car is not a
suit. They had belly aches the next night. They had belly aches because I threw out a whole bunch of rat poison. Old man Briggs said, you can't do that. I said, yeah. I said, that could be gone. Run to the shed right there. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I put 6 rounds out of a pellet gun in that. Once I thought he sat there and looked at me like, throw another one at me.
You're a big example.
So it's okay. I'll keep working on that. You guys might hear about that one. Get this out here.
What about the light posts?
The lighting.
I'm supposed to be here this week.
This week, okay.
Yes.
Be this last time.
Fall either Thursday or Friday.
And so if they get here, then they'll be down Monday and Tuesday to put these lights up. I mean, we're going to come down and help them wire and all up and all that.
If they need help, I'll send guys up. So,
but yeah, we want to get them off. So
yeah, we got to get the roads moving again.
Yeah.
They did a good job, though. I have to admit, the pavers look nice, and the way they did the sonitudes, because they had it. I mean, it was a heck of a job.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job, so.
Just that they ran on the poles.
Yeah. So cold.
Next item I have on the agenda is I've been working with Jim, police department. Chief Woodward. I'm moving the mailboxes on 7th South and 6th East. I don't know if you know what we're talking. It's in front of Big Brown's house. 7th South goes up, 6th East comes in, so it's like a three-way intersection. Cars are parking there, kind of creating quite a traffic hazard. The post office has finally agreed to move them, at least that's the way I'm understanding this, over to the west side of the cement plant. So we don't have to worry about any houses being built out front and then causing the problem we got right now with those mailboxes.
So it's on the street down to Boots' place. It'd be a block further north, more than Boots on the west corner.
Northwest corner?
Well, it'll be in the middle of the block, so we got West Rock or whatever the cement plant's called. It'll be in the center there, because they're calling the addresses as 545 South 600 East. So we're moving all those mailboxes over there in front of the cement plant and getting them off 7th South. Does anybody see a problem with that? Before I sign it.
I don't know.
The post office has not received a check. Because the post office does not move them. We just have to release the property, release to give them down the driveway back. So I just wanted to make sure so they're making a lot right there or anything that somebody might be doing.
Well, that's why we're putting them on the cement plant side. So we're thinking there should never be a house built behind there so they can get off the road, center of the block. They're off the busy 7th South, they're not in that intersection, stopping to get their mail and car, they're going and coming all the three different directions. And then we had trouble with Dave Brown trying to put rocks around the vehicles parked in there, building the fence. That's why Chief Woodward's been out there. That's how this all got started. So,
it's been quite on a while.
Yes. It's been going on quite a few months.
Yeah, that's okay.
I guess on those cement plant that closes down and decommissions will mess it then, but that's probably not at the top of the
mountain. No.
Just tell Jim we're going to decommission it if he keeps coming in there.
No, I said it would be a problem, so I said it would be a problem, so. Report from city council members.
I don't have anything.
Me neither. Just run up with the road there. They haven't been up the street, but we had talked to staff and everything's going good so far with the athletics. So. I haven't talked to Brittany, so I don't know what swimming two mornings up there. Warm me up for the week.
Speaking of Brittany, just because on our city Facebook page, I have somebody messaging you about this washout wanting to know if it's open. They said no, and she said, is there an estimated time of opening? Are we even going to consider that? Just so I can answer the person and just say when it's not opening yet.
I don't know. I was actually thinking about that because I had somebody ask me about it after I said it had opened. So we have theirs open, but I think their water doesn't recycle.
Right, theirs doesn't recycle.
So what? I guess what's the threat of opening it?
Well, I think some of it is it's harder for them to monitor as far as the COVID concerns.
The distancing would take.
Mm-hmm. It just makes it harder for them to fight up with it. And it hasn't been de-winterized.
But I think a good answer would be that when we go green, the splash pad will open.
Okay.
The problem might happen to this beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they have their way. A little bit. I agree with Trump, but they've got a quick test of
there's now,
that's what you're testing. The medications are
on. Yeah. Was it 32 or 34 down in San Francisco County as of last night?
Yeah. So the thing of it is, the masks are
going to be.
That's that. Is there an improvement?
Well, I think a lot of it I've heard is that was turkey plant.
Yeah.
But. Do you need to get a couple of pumps for that splash pad too?
Yeah, that's going to cost us a bunch though.
Really? So I have a question with police. Have they said anything about these games and this stuff going? Are they having more of that patrols?
Vandalism.
Yeah.
There's some real, they've had some real vandalism on them. Kind of second south and 60s, 70s.
Oh, yeah. The substation, power plant, the city bar,
the city.
The bridge on 30. Happen village.
Speaking of that, Molly Brotherson has offered to help paint the upper power plant and the substation.
Did he get the upper power plant too?
Yeah, he did. So they're willing to help. I've got a phone number upstairs if you want to get with her. They're more than willing to help us with that. I've had them call.
Yeah, I'd love to get with them.
You know, if we could provide them with a paint or something that way, then they would said they would be more than willing to go paint.
Well, Scott the painter is supposed to do unit one, but it never did happen.
Did we paint him?
No.
So again, they're willing to go up there and they're willing to have to go up there and paint it.
Okay.
So if we got paint of matches and stuff that way.
Okay. We got the squash kids out of power plant park too, right? We have flower pots and clothesline set up. Chance right there on the lawn.
We gotta get that high of the one so we can get the sprinkler on.
Then why did we go away, do away with potable water up there?
It's never been.
It's
a hydro.
I can't call it. It's drinkable, but I can't say what it is. It's our spring water, but it comes out before I pour me.
Well, there's nothing with sprinkler up there now, is there?
Yeah, there's one in the other campground.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But I'm having trouble with my pumps, so they're not working.
Okay, well, that's part of what was going on. They were wandering
down from the other end of the canyon.
Yeah, because
I had a long time with another 18 painting on there. And I had a pressure switch, and for some reason I can pressure it up, but then simply call for water to then get my pump back on. So I ordered a new pressure switch for it. We should be able to get that up and going again.
Well, I had a little bite from Arizona. And I had a little bite from Arizona up to here and then up to the power plant. And then spent the weekend up there at the power plant. And all he had was a hammock stuck between the trees and was using the table. And he had pedaled all the way. I forget where he said he was going.
That'd be just no care of the road, just go.
Yeah. Well, I was up there, my boy got run out of power set by Mexicans. Said there was some 400 of them surrounded. There were three trailers. Just stood there and intimidated. They were playing the music so loud, he went over and asked them. This shut it down long enough that they could communicate and talk with each other. And the older gentleman was there. He asked him if they ignored him. And they called the sheriff. And as soon as the sheriff showed up, Paul Bailey, they shut it down again. But as soon as he left, they cranked it back up. And then he came over and surrounded the trailer. The three trailers. Kids was crying and everything. And they was packing. They were packing rabbits. And my boy said, we just loaded up on that. He said, I got scared.
Yeah.
For the family, not myself. He's an ex-policeman himself. So he went over and asked him. But, and he said, it was intimidating. He said, there was probably 400 or so Spanish people down there at that
time. And that's a state park.
Yeah, it's a state park. But in the DNR, or the... It's not the DNR, it's a natural resource in NRA.
Yeah.
They come over, whatever the park ranger come over and talk to him. As soon as he left, they cranked her right back up again. But it was crazy. Yeah. My daughter-in-law said she stood there on the dock with him and witnessed themselves. Seven balls of coke, is that what they saw it in? Like round balls or something? Of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Right there on the dock. They was having a large time.
So he called me and asked me to go up here at the park and see if there was parking up here at the power plant. And I run up there and I called him when I got up there. I said, yeah, there's plenty of room. So they threw everything in the trailers and up there. Spent the weekend, the rest of the weekend up there.
That's why you say I'm South Town people.
Well, I never thought that would ever happen here.
I know, it's sad, isn't it?
You know, and then it's too bad, he says, because the old guy came over to him when they was packing up, and he says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that we ruined your Father's Day. And he says, I tried to tell them, and they wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, well, they get drinking and
drugs and everything else. And,
yeah.
So the old guy was part of the other, yeah, he was with the Mexicans there, the Mexican bunch, and they was... Just at a moment's time, the more that place than that, they turned away 180 automobiles Saturday. It was full. They were parked at both sides all the way in the golf course. They closed the gates.
It was packed.
It was just packed.
About the police. I'll tell you, Jim didn't come in today. Jim Milberg told us that there are quite that's rising right now in break-ins. And he suggested people be careful and be locking their stuff because there has been an increase in that kind of activity the last little bit.
Well, I was worried about mine last night. I had my trailer and my truck parked out in there. My friends still hooked to the trailer. The last time I'd done that, they took a whole tank of diesel. I just filled it up getting ready to go out to the desert. I come out in the morning, cranked her on, she started up with the gas gauge, she's on E. Now they suck the whole, that whole, I don't know, 35 gallons? Now they're in the car, all can go in the night, but I thought, well, my neighbor's next door, there's something going on over there all the time. So I thought, maybe that's what was going on, so I didn't get my lazy old butt out of bed going up. Now they're saying that's the only time they're awake is during the night.
Well, there's people driving around at 2 or 3 in the morning, they're up to no good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, I used to go to work every morning, so everybody has a good
yeah, it's they pulled me over on the way to work, I'm fine with that, but...
It looks like that dude.
It starts in front of my place about 4:30. There's somebody in the Dodge pickup, and I'm getting ready to go out and take a two to four and put some nails in it. Throw across the street.
Yeah, but anywhere from midnight to 3, there shouldn't be people driving down our streets.
There shouldn't be.
What do you got on me?
Well, I just get asked colder. So you finished the potholes on all the east? I'm just wondering if you got an eyepiece up there by your shop. I got a lot of complaints. I told them they're working on now. I can tell them, you should be quiet.
We got that one and Smith and East done today. Then 40, they got a few down at elementary. So I think there's stuff that goes in the lobby. I couldn't really have been open at all. I didn't smell it. The glass is already down.
And the other question I had, maybe you can help me with this, is
I used to have all
the windrows and stuff that they've left from putting in this new road. Is that something that's, are they going to come back?
We might have to knock that down.
I think we'll probably have to knock them down, straighten up that edge a little bit, because it's kind of, you're at the edge and it's...
I'll cover that.
Okay. So I didn't know if they was going to do that or...
We've got to later, I'll knock it down.
I just laid that out because I think a lot of people are like, it's just not quite finished.
Yeah. They're not going to tell the chip seals.
Yeah.
There's a few intersections we might have to go in or some go up first north there or send a little bit of powder and stuff. We might have to take a shot of the room and double room before they chip seal. I'm sure we're ready to go.
Okay. And then they got a lot of stuff signed on the fourth at the pool. It looks like you guys, for the most part, took care of the weeds there, haven't you?
Okay, I was sitting on them.
Yeah.
So they went spray, we were sitting on them.
So you did spray them?
They launched and actually straightened up a little bit.
Oh, we did? Because I noticed that. I think they're planning on having a big day there on the field. That's part of the city's celebrations, so.
And Brittany had a strong weather feature, well, we'll take care of it. All of you can go right for the night, so.
All right. Someday in the future, it'd be really nice to get a fence on that sidewalk on the south of the parking lot between that old elementary school and that pool parking lot. Because it's just a terrible eyesore there.
It is, but I'm like, I don't know where our property line is.
But something to think about, you know. It'd make the pool look so much.
It'd be nice if they could sell out elementary and have somebody make something.
Yeah.
But that's
the next point. They talk about building condos at a fire station there.
Everybody comes out the north, right under the swimming pool, that's their main entrance.
So how you can deal with that? Kind of a, basically he's turning it back to like assisted living type place.
Well, schools keep in half, so we're gonna have separation services, which is gonna be a night.
Actually, well, I don't know, that is, I'm from Spring City, he's a realtor.
He's walking down our streets, Jefferson, back, that way on side of that. That's all I got, Mayor, for more questions than anything, but.
Dr. Cole is gonna do a breakfast out in the park on the 4th of July with the scout trip. So,
that is James.
With the scout group, yeah, with the community scout group, yeah, I've seen it.
I've seen this on Facebook.
Did you want, have you guys seen this so far, the funny film? Some of the work shortens everything?
I'm not just trying to turn it off and load you, to be honest with you. We got an all the set.
That's not the official copy.
So this will go out in the.
I'm gonna send it to the paper.
The building? Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if it'll go out in time, but I am gonna send it both to the messenger and the pyramid to get it on the paper next week. And it is on our Facebook page, and I now am sure put it on our city website. So, that's just some of the things she and Steph, with some input from some of the rest of us, that's just some of the ideas that we came up with, just still trying to be able to support. So.
We are still going to do the booms too, so people ask you.
Well, and a wake up.
We're looking at the boom wake ups.
Okay.
So I did ask them to make sure they put that out on the work page so people are still in for that.
And say your neighbor called the cops on us again.
Yeah. Wish neighbor was sent.
Jim,
what was his benefit?
Jim, that whole last house was going to kill somebody because I gave him, my wife gave him, had some clear over our house.
I was tips with you. That's a crazy game. That's a Cody Thompson.
Oh, he's the one on the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, where did you wake up?
He's the one. He wigged out over that.
Where did that bus turn?
I have a flashlight.
I wasn't here. You're a little bit there.
Sure.